couple places this morning. We're going to turn to Philippians chapter 3, which is a very popular text for New Year's, and also 1 Samuel chapter 17. Philippians 3 and 1 Samuel chapter 17. Today we open a new chapter in the book of our lives. We see an empty page filled with opportunities, unspoiled by doubt and overflowing with great hopes and dreams. Each opportunity and experience we have is given to us, and it's captured in a time and in a moment. Stephen Cloud puts it this way: the calendar year 2017 is a block of time containing 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours, 525,600 minutes, 31,536,000 seconds, and every one of them are a gift from God. We have done nothing to deserve it, earn it, or produce it. It is given to us to use, listen, as we choose. Time cannot be stopped. There is no way to slow it down or turn it off. Once it's gone, it's gone. We can't bring it back. We can waste it, spend it, and worry about it. Or, as good stewards, we can invest in it. Invest in the kingdom of God. As seconds tick away, we will toss them out the window? No. Hopefully, we will make each and every moment count. The Apostle Paul gives us some of the wisdom regarding how we should spend our time for this coming year in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Brethren, verse 13 and 14, Philippians 3, 13 and 14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Did you hear it? Did you capture the heart of the apostle, our New Testament pastor? He says, listen, I personally, I don't count myself to have apprehended, or some of your text says attained, right? But one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And we have the evidence throughout Scripture that these words stand the test of time. Consider the words of Charles Spurgeon. He says, brethren, it is a very healthy thing for us who are ministers to read a biography like that of McChain. Read through it, you as a minister, and it will burst many of your windbags. You will find yourself collapsed, most assuredly terrified. Take the life of Bernard among the Indians, or Baxter in our own land. Think of the holiness of George Herbert, the devoutness of Fletcher, and the zeal of Whitford. Where do you find yourself after reading their lives? Might you peep about to find a hiding place for your significance? In other words, what is he saying? Our lives are not to brag about compared to other men of faith. God, each and every day, shows us a plan and a purpose as we walk with him. And like Paul, we haven't attained it. We haven't arrived. We're not perfect. God is continuously working in and through us each and every day, bringing people in our lives to help us along the way, showing us the path through his word, enabling us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I think it's important that our time not be focused on our past, listen, failures, or even our accomplishments, but rather than resting in the past, what God has done, let's look forward to what God wants to do. He wants to do so much in each one of our lives. If we would look around, we'd see that we haven't even scratched the surface of the work that needs to be done in the hearts and in the lives of the people around us. What is hindering that? I pray we're no longer hindered about our past and focus on that, but we would look forward to see what God wants to do, not only in each one of us, but as a church ministry as well. Like our Christmas service, We reflected on the promises of God, the past, the present, and the future. Now let's consider what Paul gives us regarding some things to think about for 2017. He tells us, as we read, forgetting those things which are behind us, the bad, the hurts, the stupid decisions that we've made, the disappointments, the failures, and even the sins, confessed or not. You see, these things have a tendency to hinder us. If these things are not left behind, listen, then likely they are heavy baggage that we carry. We'll continue to carry them everywhere in life, and they will be a hindrance in our ability to move forward. We continually think about not just with the bad things, but the good things as well. Have you ever met somebody, they speak about the wrongs that someone did in their life, and they're adults at this point? Well, I must confess, when I was in high school in ninth grade, I went to a new school, and I was the new kid in the class, and a young man walked up to me and put his finger in my face, and we started fighting right there in English class, believe it or not. Desks flying, somebody pulled my hair this way and that way. So I got sent to the dean's office, and there was a line of people in the dean's office, and I was at the end. So he walks in, and he looks at everybody. He says, "You, come in here." He says, "What happened?" I said, "I got in a fight." He says, "Bend over." Now, they don't do that today. But he whacked me with this board that was like this. And he hit me so hard, I immediately had tears in my eyes. And then he hit me a second time, and I wanted to kill him. So now, he says, "Get out. Go wait in the hallway." Because now I got suspended. My dad had to come and pick me up. The point of the story is, I was mad. And I had to walk. Remember I said the office was full of people? I had to walk past them. So I'm doing like this, trying to make myself look cool, not crying in front of my peers. And I was steaming mad at this man. And I have to tell you, even in my adulthood, when I would think about it, because I knew where he lived, I was mad. It was the weirdest thing. I couldn't get over it because I think it was, you know, vindictive, the way and how hard, I don't know what to say. But the issue was in my heart. And that, every time that would come up, I would get anxious and mad. You know, not now, I'm over it now, thank the Lord. Well, I thought about it, I didn't get mad this time, so that's a good thing, right? I've been set free, my chains are gone. Because listen, it kept me in chains. When I think about that, I'd go right back to that moment. In that anger. And wanting to get back at this man. I really wanted to get back at this man. And sometimes we can live that way. We can live in the past. We can look at our failures and say, "Oh, I'm done. I can't go any further." Or we can look at what someone else has done to us and be bound by that. Do you know what I'm talking about? You bring someone's name up and you go right back to the incident. You see, it's when the Lord sets you free of that, that I can talk about this without anger to this man now. And who did that? Well, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. As I matured with the Lord, as I walked in the light as He is in the light, as I followed the Lord's direction in my life, He gave me the ability to forgive. Now, I didn't forget, but that forgiveness is a forgiveness that doesn't now create the desire to get back at that person. It'll become a hindrance for you. And we can look back at our past sins and not learn from them and not grow. What happens? They become a hindrance to us. So we just got this dog, a recovery dog. We just got rid of a shepherd a little while ago, and now we got another dog. It's a shepherd mix with a golden retriever. Beautiful dog. It has the scariest bark I ever heard. But it had heartworms. So when we got the dog, the dog's on medicine. And the dog sleeps 23 hours a day. And when she does wake up, you got to be right there to take her out because she doesn't know time or anything like that. And anyway, she goes on the floor once in a while. We're going to call her Pyramid. Every room she goes in, she leaves a pyramid. But see, she was lethargic. And useless, really, as a dog because she slept all the time because she was sick. Now, we speak about sin as leprosy and such, and it creates things and it spreads. So in my office in the house, there's a little piece of wood that I put in the door so the other little dog wouldn't come in. So this dog, when I'm in the office, would look at me and then go lay down. But now, listen, the dog's getting better. The dog's medicine has stopped. We have to bring her for some shots. But now her life's coming back in her. And now she's not sleeping 23 hours a day. She's running around. She wants to play. And she has an excitement about her that we hadn't seen before. You see, sin in our hearts and focusing on our past can render us useless, because that's all that's holding us together right now. That's all we're worried about. It's all we're thinking about. And yet if we can overcome that, we look like we have life back in us. So this morning I woke up, took her out, went in the office to read over my notes, and she jumps over this board that I have in the door. This little board is this high. Because my wife has a Yorkshire Terrier, so we don't want that dog can't jump over this board. But it was a barrier to both dogs, because the one was sick. Sin can create barriers in our life, and it could be this big. When we have the power as we walk with the Lord to overcome that. And I couldn't believe it, the dog jumped, life's coming back in the dog. She's not carrying this burden of this sickness and this illness, and I'm just using that as an illustration of sin in our life. Because that's what Satan wants, to take us out of God's plan, to focus on our problems or blame someone else for it, right? If these things are not left behind, they become baggage. We carry them everywhere we go. We'll carry them into marriages. We'll carry them into relationships. We'll carry them into the workplace. We'll carry them into the church. And Paul's telling us, hey, don't focus on those things that are keeping you back and keeping you behind. It's not the bad that we should leave behind, but also the success that we have. Oh, I'm not talking about not forgetting them altogether, about the great things that you have done, but don't live in that past glory. Like, we have great opportunities. We see the Lord's hand working, but we don't live in that. There's many times you'll meet a person and they'll talk about something that happened like 20 years ago. And every time you hear them, it's, oh, 20 years ago we did this, 10 years ago we did. What is God doing today? He wants to work in your life today. Don't live in the past. I've been all over the world. And I've had amazing experiences walking with the evangelist. But I don't live there. Those are mountaintop experiences. And mountaintop experiences, there's not a lot of room on the mountain, is there? And we don't live there. We live in the valley where the people are. And so each and every day, God wants to use us in a mighty way. Something new, something fresh. You've heard it said, let's turn over a new leaf. Let's turn over our life afresh for this coming 2017. Listen how Oswald Chambers puts it. He says about our yesterdays. He says, at the end of the year, we turn with eagerness to all that God has for the future. And yet, anxiety is apt to rise from remembering our yesterdays. Our present enjoyment of God's grace is apt to be checked by the memory of yesterday's sins and blunders. But God is the God of our yesterdays too. And he allows, listen, the memory of them in order to turn the past into a ministry for spiritual maturity for the future. Did you get that? God uses our past to strengthen us, to make us wise, so we can do future ministry. Like, we learn from our past. But we don't necessarily have to live there. Satan may throw your past in your face, but God reminds us of the past lest we get into a shallow security in the present, right? We need to be wise, right? I don't want to go in that old dark place that I used to be in my BC days. You know, I'm on Facebook looking at all the events on New Year's, and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But I used to do that stuff, and so did you. Don't laugh at me. Before we knew the Lord, we pleased the flesh, and we were partying, wanted to have a good time. And God wants us to have a good time. God has given us laughter and joy. He just puts it in the parameters that we glorify him with our lives. An old man said to a friend, "Say, you look depressed. What are you thinking about?" "My future," was the quick answer. "What makes you look so hopeless?" He says, "My past." Right? Some of us look at our past and say, "Well, that's it." And it may be it for you if that's where you're going to stay. But we don't have to stay there. And that's the point this morning. We don't have to remain. And Paul, our New Testament pastor, is saying he doesn't stay there. He's not dwelling on the past. He's not looking at all the great things that he did and sits back at, "Oh, you wouldn't believe all the ministry that I did." He says he counts it as rubbish. When there was these miracles that were happening, the disciples were amazed. And Jesus said to them, "Don't be amazed at this. Be amazed that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that your life each and every day, not just 2016, but today is the first of the year. What are we doing? The first day of the year, the first day of the week. The first thing we do is come into the presence of the Lord and worship Him and honor Him and feed upon His Word this morning. And that's where Satan wants you to stay, depressed, worried, and have no peace. Or you may be one of those, "Well, Pastor, my past was great. I can remember years ago," right? And that's fantastic. Use that experience to serve the Lord today. Listen, He's given you that past experience so that you can minister today, right? He's shown you some things in your past, good, bad, or indifferent, that He will use for the good, right? He says, "All things will work for the good of those who love me, those who are called according to my purpose." If you're an evangelist and your life has been rejection from people, everyone you knew rejected you through life, and now you find yourself as an evangelist, guess what's going to happen? People are going to reject you, right? But you've already experienced that. It does now, it doesn't bother you, right? There's been a training that has happened. You've seen things happen. Think about King David's life. I've asked you to turn to Philippians 3. We did that. Now turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. Before we get there, let me read to you what Warren Wiersbe says. I love this. 1 Samuel 17. "Do not say, 'Why were the former days better than these?' You do not move ahead by constant looking in a rearview mirror." Isn't that true? How many of us are going forward looking in a rearview mirror? Now, there's been many times, there's been people in the car while I was driving would say, "Oh, look at that person so close behind you." I don't care. Why am I looking back how close they are behind me? Right? That ever happened to you? "Oh, this guy's on my rear end," right? You ever, how dare they get that close to me? But I'm going forward. I don't care what's happening behind me, right? I like this. Listen, he says, "The past is a rudder to guide you, not an anchor to drag you." I love that. Your past is a rudder to guide you, not an anchor to drag you. And if we would just grasp that today, we have so much to look forward to. Remember, I started this teaching today saying that our lives are now open to an empty page, but it's full of opportunities for the Lord to fill in the blanks, right? To write the story of our life as we walk with Him. Now, again, think of King David. David was raised by his father, Jesse, and was the youngest of 8 sons. He spent his early years herding his father's sheep in the wilderness while his brothers were in school. Now, later, 3 of his brothers went to serve in battle with King Saul, and David was asked to run supplies to the soldiers. So we pick it up in 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 19. "Now Saul and they and all of the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and he took things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army, and David left his supplies in the hands of the supply keeper, and he ran to the army, and he came, and he greeted his brothers. Then, as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. He spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that this man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughters, and give his father's house exception from taxes in Israel." Verse 26, "And then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" Now, I love this. Notice this young man's courage. He experienced in the past has given him the tools, the confidence, and the ability for his present situation. You see, our yesterday's experiences look to today's challenges, and our today's challenges look forward to our tomorrow's opportunities. Notice what he says in that text. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Everybody was running. "Oh, it's a giant. We're afraid he's going to kill us." Look at David's heart. How did that happen in his life? Verse 33. "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are youth, and he is a man of war from his youth.'" Now listen, there will always be someone who will bring up an excuse why you can't do something. That may be you. You may do that. Or it may be somebody around you. Don't listen to it. If God is leading you, then you have no fear and no worries. No matter who you're going up against. He's going up against a giant who the entire nation, the army of Israel is afraid of, and he's a young kid. We couldn't write this story. I mean, we just couldn't do it, right? Only God can do these things. And he had this happen, I believe, to not only save Israel, but show us a lesson in our lives as well. So often, God wants to do a mighty work in us. And whether, listen, it's an outside voice or an inside voice, we'll never change. We'll stay bound. We'll stay carrying this heavy baggage in our life unless we listen to the Lord. Unless we follow the Lord's lead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 34, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when I rose again, and when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear.'" Stop right there. Now, remember I said, you can look back to the past as long as it's maturity for your future, right? He's reflecting back. Hey, why is this guy any different? Look what I've done in the past. Look what God has done for me, with me, and by me in the past. Now, he's using his past for his present situation. He's not afraid because he's gone up against lions and bears. That's amazing. And he's a kid. Which shows us a couple things. With God, anything's impossible, right? Whether you're young, old, or whatever, God can do anything through those who are surrendered to him. Surrender to his will. Remember we said, turn over a new leaf, turn over your life, surrender afresh for this year. And then we can look back on our past situation and say, wait a minute, I got through that. I got through that boss constantly on my back. I've gone through the hard times where we didn't have money. We've done that before. We can overcome that. We've been sick before. We've prayed to the Lord. Oh, it might have been difficult, but we got through it. The Lord empowered us to overcome. That's called victory. That's called living a victorious life. But if we sit back, hey, nobody likes me. try to evangelize somebody, they said, get lost. That's it, I'm done. Really? The apostles gave their lives. They died for the cause of Christ. Our feelings get hurt and we're done. Wait a minute. That should make you even stronger. Praise the Lord. I gave the word. We know what was behind that rejection, but I planted a seed. Somebody else is going to come along and water it. But it's up to God to make it grow. I can do nothing apart from the Lord. And that's why it's so important that we recognize who we are, who God is in our life, and how, listen, how he orchestrates things to happen. Now, we may not like them sometimes, but we're going to grow stronger because it will work out for the good. It's working out. It doesn't say it just happens. It's working out. You ever go to the gym? I haven't been there in a long time. But when I did go, there was a time I had 15 and a half inch arms, not today. And you start work, Bobby's still working out, I can tell. But you go to the gym, you haven't been there a long time. What happens the next day? Oh, I can't move. Right? So my younger son was playing hockey one time. No, I think it was my older son. And they had an adult league, and he played on it, and I had some influences encourage me. Hey, come on out. It doesn't matter. You can't skate. So I put skates on, and I was like this all over the place and trying to skate like this. They passed me the puck. I'd watch it go by because I couldn't get to it fast enough. The next day, I couldn't walk. There was muscles I didn't even know I had. I'm telling you, I was in such pain. What does that mean? Well, I was working. Working the muscles means you tear the muscle and it rebuilds itself. Sometimes as God works out things in our life, they're difficult. They might be painful, but we have to trust in him, right? Because he's the one who's working them out. I'm not. Matter of fact, I don't even know what the end of it looks like, but he does. I can't trust in what I see because I don't know what tomorrow holds, but he does. Your servant, verse 36, has killed both lion and bear. And this... And I love this. Uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. He sees his past. He saw his victory. And he says, I can go forward. He didn't live there. Hey, yeah, one day I did that. But you guys deal with Goliath. No, I'm going to use that past victory to handle my present situation. I'm going to overcome. I've looked back and saw the Lord's hand enable. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. He doesn't see him as any different challenge in God's eyes, right? Because like when you look at a situation, oh, it's so big. Really? To God, this is a big deal? Right? Like you're $20 short for an electric bill or something like that? Yeah, it's a big deal in your life, but it's not a big deal for God. If we consider how big our God is and realize that he will provide, he's our provider, he's our source of strength and grace and mercy, right? We can overcome. When we look to God to be the settler of the issues of life, they seem so insignificant, don't they? Seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God, he saw Goliath as an enemy of God, and God enabled him and empowered him to be a victorious warrior. So he's saying, I'm going to take this guy out, right? When you see sin and things happening in your life, do you realize the enemy's attacking you? You're a child of God? Or do you hold on to this? Hey, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to move. Do you realize the Lord, or you're a child of God, there's an enemy attacking you? We're talking spiritually. Do you realize that? David sees that in the physical realm here. He says, this guy is an uncircumcised Philistine. He'll be just like one of those lions and bears that I have killed. He's nothing in my eyes. Because why? The Lord is with me. Is this such a big deal in your life today? Whatever's happening, it shouldn't be. God is with you. Period. No matter what it is. He has defiled the armies of the living God. Listen, when you see a pastor fall from a church, and we see an amazing thing happen at Calvary Fort Lauderdale where Pastor Bob was involved in sin and he fell, and everybody hates Bob, I'm not saying everybody, and for teaching purposes, we have to realize that Satan was involved in that, and we need to pray against Satan and for the restoration of this man's life. repentance in his heart, but also realize where it came from. And it could happen to you too. You might not have that high platform as he did, but that doesn't matter. Your influence could be lost. Satan sits back and laughs and says, who's going to listen to you now? David doesn't see this challenge as something he's going to overcome. He sees it as something as the living God is going to overcome. His God, your God, my God. And we realize this going into the next year, we can overcome anything. Verse 37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines. I hope you have your own Bible and highlight that verse. Or actually this whole part that we're going over. Read it over again. Highlight some points in that because they apply to us. So David looks back to his past and recognizes the Lord's hand in his life, and he gives him courage for today's challenge. And Paul says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, back to Philippians 3, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. He is not living in the past, but able to face the challenges of today because of his past. The point is, ask yourself, where are you today? It's my prayer that we see the big picture in what God is doing in our lives today. It may be discipline, it may be spiritual growth, it may be strength, moving us in a different direction, seeing the big picture God has in mind for us. The story is told of an art enthusiast who was given the opportunity to analyze one of the greatest paintings ever created, Leonardo da Vinci's depiction of the Last Supper. The painting is not on canvas in a gold frame, but it was painted more than 500 years ago directly on the wall of a dining hall in a church in Milan, Italy. This art enthusiast arrived early in the morning with great excitement, took out his magnifying glass, and with his face just inches away, he began his long examination of this artwork. Slowly and methodically, he proceeds across the painting, inch by inch, capturing every delicate brush stroke and subtle blend of colors. Hours passed like minutes. Each mark drew him closer and closer in his examination. At this point in the story, the question was asked of him, "What do you see? Did you miss something?" And the answer certainly should be yes. Listen, although he gained a detailed knowledge of microscopic portions of this incredible painting, piece by piece, there was something significant and so important that he could not see. You see, although the art enthusiast noted the excellence in the craft, he missed the bigger picture within the picture. Think about that. In your life, you're worried about such a minute little thing. Are we looking at the bigger picture? Although the art enthusiast noted the excellence in the craft, he missed that bigger picture. Now, after hundreds of years, the painting no longer looks as it did in its original state. Although faded, and it seems, it's not just a picture of the Last Supper. It's so much more. As you look at the picture, you'll see, we have it up here. It's not the whole picture, but significantly, you'll understand what I'm talking about. As we look at this picture, you will see the symmetrical planning draws your eyes towards Jesus' face. You will see that the barely visible lines on the floor and the imagery lines extended from the beams in the ceilings and suggested on the border lines from the top of the tapestry on the wall. You will notice that the frame of the window at the back is intended to draw your attention to the one person who is in the focus of Leonardo's painting, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the original painting, you see much more of that, but you'll see the symmetrical lines. Everything is drawing your attention to the face of Jesus. Every line in the ceiling, walls, and the floor, as well as the gaze of the disciples, are pointing directly to Jesus' face. The painting is not about the dinner. It's not about the Last Supper. It's about the recoil and the shock of Jesus' announcement to a traitor being among them. He just said, one of you are going to betray me, and this is what he pictures. But everything is looking to Jesus. Leonardo's skills shine throughout the painting as you focus in on the individual elements of its beauty. But you can't stay there. But you can't stay close for long. As we get close to the picture, it draws us back to look at Jesus. You will find yourself stepping back to see how each segment fits in with the others. So forgetting those things which are behind, ask yourself, where am I today? You will discover, as you look at the big picture of your life, as a believer, it should direct people around you to look to Jesus. Wow. Everything about my life, the center of my life, the focus of my life, the activities of my life, should focus to Jesus. When people see you, man, that guy's a man of God. Look what he's doing. Look what he's saying. Look how he's acting. Oh, wow. Everything about us should be pointing those around us to Jesus. Your salvation, your redemption, your transformation all draw people to Jesus, who is not only the author, the one who orchestrates our life, but he is the finisher as well. That should change our whole perspective into going into 2017, right? Wow. People are going to look at my life and look at Jesus and look to God to give the glory to? That's what he says. Paul said in Ephesians 2:10, he tells us, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That word works is plural. There's an S on it. It's not one thing I did 20 years ago. It's what I'm continuously doing, right? All the things, past, present, and then the future. Jesus says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It is given light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. That's what our lives should look like. That's what our lives should reflect like. Not all the things that we have and the things that we want to do and the places that we want to go. People need to see us, and it should point to Jesus. So as we stop living in our past, forgetting those things which are behind me, I look today at God's unmerited grace and favor and what he is doing today in our lives to draw others to Jesus. This is why he tells you and I to go make disciples. Well, I can't do that. If you only knew my past. He knows your past. Matter of fact, while you were still sinning, before you were ever created, he had this plan for you to go make disciples. That's why he says, you're light, you are salt. And for 2017, I am reaching forward, the other part of Philippians 3, to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. So we don't know what our future holds, but God does. You've heard me say that. So we reach forward, continue pressing forward towards the goal so that we would finish well in the Lord. Don't get distracted. Some of us get distracted, right? We make plans. Oh, Lord, this is what I'm going to do this year. And we forget about them. What happened? We got distracted. Don't get discouraged. Somebody's going to come along and say, oh, that's you're not going to be able to do that. We have a lot of things happening in the ministry. We're a very small church. We're in plans of having a seminary school. We're in plans with the radio station. All of this costs money. We have very minimal coming in the church. God's the provider. I'm not going to worry about it. Don't get discouraged. Don't look at the here and now. Look to God. He's the provider, right? He's our source. Don't quit. Don't quit. And finally, for this morning's service, number three, my life verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Hope and trust in God for our future in 2017. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So the verse starts with the word trust, T-R-U-S-T. In the small capitals, that word starts with the cross, and it ends with the cross. And I love that about that word, right? You ever see that before? It starts with the cross and ends with the cross. So as I trust in, what does he say, in myself? No. As I trust in you? No. As I trust in the Lord a little? No. He says, as I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and not depend or lean on what I know, my own understanding, not looking to my past, but acknowledging him as the one who will, that I am to trust in and follow. And then his promise is that he will direct my path, that I will travel as I walk in the light. He's the one directing our paths. Don't get off the path that God has put you on, because then you're out of the Lord's will. He's the one directing our paths. Final story, I'm running behind. It's the story of three trees. I read it the other day. I want to share it to you. Three trees were on a mountaintop. And one tree asked the other, what do you want to be one day? He says, I want to be a treasure chest. I want to be filled with gold and precious metals. I want all things of great value to be contained in me. The other said, what about you? The other tree says, I want to be a mast of a great ship traveling people across the great waters. The third tree says, I want to be the biggest, tallest tree that everyone in the world will look up to. So one day the lumberjack comes and cuts down the one tree, and he builds a little feeding trough for it. The second tree, one day a lumberjack comes and he cuts it down, and he makes this little 8-foot sailboat, this little mast. It wasn't a great mast that he thought he was going to be in. And the other, he comes and cuts down this tree who wanted to be the biggest thing that the world would look at, and it was just thrown in a pile. He had no reason for it. He just wanted to have wood. Now, if you think of those lives, they sound pretty pitiful, right? But think about it. That feeding trough was a manger for the king. That mast on the sailboat traveled the disciples across the Sea of Galilee, and that the Lord calmed the waters. And that final piece of wood that was in the junk pile was hoisted upon Jesus' back, and it was the cross that he died for our sins. So your plans might not be what they look like now, but God says he has a plan for your life, and we need to keep our eyes focused on him for this coming 2017. You see, it's the cross that the world looks at today for forgiveness. And that tree didn't know it at the time, but God had great plans for him. Amen?